Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Tony Rodio, the CEO of Affinity Gaming, on how he handled the sale of Tropicana Entertainment to Eldorado Resorts and how he landed his new job with Affinity. Today's GGB podcast is brought to you by GLI, staging its annual Regulators Roundtable this March in Las Vegas. Visit GamingLabs.com for information and registration. The trees have to start all over, make a new beginning. Don't get me wrong. Tony Rodio joined Affinity Gaming in late 2018, directly after engineering the sale of Tropicana Entertainment to Eldorado Resorts. At Tropicana, Rodio increased overall financial results with net revenue increasing more than 50% through both operational improvements and further expansion into regional markets. Rodio also has experience with Harrah's Entertainment and Hollywood Casinos. At Affinity, Rodio takes the helm of a company that operates 11 casinos, five of which are located in Nevada, three in Colorado, two in Missouri, and one in Iowa. His experience working for billionaire investor Carl Icahn at Tropicana will come in handy now that he's working with James Zenny of Z Capital, the majority owner of Affinity. He spoke with me from the Affinity's office in Las Vegas in December. Tony Rodio, thanks for joining us on the podcast. Congratulations on what happened at the Tropicana and of course, with your new position here at Affinity. You're out in Vegas for the first time ever, I think.
Working here, but certainly I've been to Vegas a number of times. Thank you on Tropicana. Right. I'm really proud of what we accomplished there, and absolutely, I'm excited about what lies ahead here.
Great. So let's talk about, you sold the Tropicana, and the next day, practically,
it was a 6 months process from the time the transaction was announced until the time it closed. So, and I knew, although the Eldorado folks, and they were wonderful, the Corrados, they offered me a position to stay on. But I thought it was time for me to move on. Right. I'm too young to retire. Yeah. I love the industry. I'm passionate about it. So I wanted to, I felt like I had one more good run in me. And so this, of the number of opportunities that I looked at, this one seemed to fit the best for me.
Yeah, no question about it. So what was it about Affinity that really attracted you to
it? Well, I think there's a lot of similarities between Affinity today and where Tropicana was when I first got there, eight years ago. Right. A regional gaming company, operations some throughout the Midwest, and no real cohesion, I don't feel like, within the company, which was similar when I got to Tropicana. Right. And I really looked to draw from my experience there of building a company and creating a new culture and creating some new ways of looking at things looking at the business with a fresh set of eyes.
Okay, great. Well, you work for a pretty demanding billionaire, in Carl Icahn at Tropicana. Now, I'm assuming you're working for another one, James Zenny, the head of Z Capital, which is a majority owner of Affinity. What have you learned?
There's similarities and there's some differences. I'm that was actually another, when I said there were similarities between Tropicana here. Tropicana was publicly traded, but he owned 80%, so there was only one vote that mattered. So it was all practical purposes privately held. They're both very passionate, obviously both great investors. I think the difference is Mr. Icahn didn't understand, not that he didn't, he didn't get involved in the day-to-day operations. Right. Yep. Given that this company has been operating before I got here, was 4 or 5 months without a CEO, Mr. Zenny was, in essence, the CEO. So he's much more intimately aware of each of the properties, each of the businesses, and, the positives, the negatives, and what we need to do to move forward. So that is a big difference. He's passionate about it. Mm-hmm. I think his leadership is certainly a big support, and he's looking for us to grow the company.
Right. Okay.
That, in that sense, they're both they're both identical. Exactly. They want me to add value, and that's why I'm here.
And you did a great job at Tropicana. I'm sure you'll do it here. But this company has so many diverse parts. I mean, here in Vegas, you got a couple of kind of destination resorts on the state line. You've got visitors casino with Silver Sevens, and then of course you got a few of these scattered ones in the different states.
So, right.
And the one up in Sparks, I understand, is almost like a big bar. So,
It's a, well, they are diverse.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've visited, at this point now, I've visited each and every business. Right. And they are unique in the customers that they serve, the markets that they operate in, the size of the facilities. You know, some of our properties have hotels, some don't. And, you know, the philosophy that I used at Tropicana is going to be the same philosophy that I use here, which is a little different than previous management in that I believe in more of a decentralized model. And, and I will give a lot more autonomy to the general managers and the local business leaders. And I think it's certainly plays well with this company because they are so diverse.
Right.
And you can't, what you do out at Prim at State Line isn't going to necessarily work at that box in Sparks outside of Reno.
Right.
So I'm getting to know each of the businesses and again, we're going to operate in a more decentralized function fashion.
What do you consider the strengths of the company at this point?
Well, you know, I'm pleasantly surprised by the strength of the corporate staff and the management teams at each of the individual businesses. I mean, the GMs that I've got to know, I think they all do a great job. We brought in some additional talent to support the people that are already here. We hired the CIO, or the Chief Marketing Officer, I'm sorry, that was with us at Tropicana. Eric Fiacco is on board. Actually, the CIO from Tropicana has just joined. Joe Long, Mary Beth Higgins, who worked for years at Caesars, is joining as permanently as our CFO. So the talent that was here and the talent that we brought in, I think, and really long-term loyal employees as well. As I've visited the properties, it's you don't have to spend a lot of time there, and you see the employees interact with customers, and you can see that it's you know, a family atmosphere in a lot of respects.
How about the shape of the properties? And do you need a little more capital reinvestment, or were they in pretty good shape?
Well, they're in good shape from a physical standpoint, but similar to what I did at Tropicana, and I think that what's incumbent upon all of us in this industry is we have to diversify the experience.
Right.
You no longer could just offer slot machines and table games. We have to look for opportunities and ways to partner with brands and to diversify the experience. And, you know, it's more challenging in smaller regional markets, but there's definitely little things that we could do to tweak the experience and add new amenities.
So, you know, last time I interviewed someone at Affinity, we talked a lot about analytics. That was a big push in the company. Are you a big believer in interpreting those numbers? Or
Yes. Yeah. Now, whether or not my interpretation will mirror their interpretation and how to use it, but I believe in two strong things. One is to again, instill in my the general managers an entrepreneurial mentality. I want them to be risk takers. I want them to be aggressive, but I want them to do it with a strategic focus. I don't want us to just blindly shoot in the dark. Use analytics to support the shots that you're going to take and the you know, the marketing programs that you want to implement. I'm all about making sure that we analyze everything that we do, test and control new programs. So yeah, I'm a strong believer in analytics.
Okay, great. Let's talk about some of the individual properties. The Prim properties, I think, are probably the largest of the company in terms of hotel rooms and casino square footage. And it, again, it's kind of an interesting place. It's right on the state line. You know, not like a state line where people are going to drive across to gamble, you know, because there's nothing on the other side.
Look, I'll be honest. It's a good news, tough news story out at Prim. The tough news is, you know, those properties were built when there weren't any Native American casinos in Southern California. And the world has changed dramatically since then. So they're really large boxes that were built under a different set of circumstances. That's the bad news. The good news is there's 45,000 cars that drive by our front door on average each and every day. And back to my point about diversifying the experience, if we could figure out ways to get those cars to make a stop, whether it's to play a slot machine or to grab a cup of Starbucks or to fuel up their car before
the
they get here,
the
lottery store is, that's one of the things that has, well, a couple of things are different than anything I've ever experienced. I've never had to worry about selling gas before, so I'm learning a whole new industry there. But the lottery store, given that it's the closest lottery sales opportunity for people in Las Vegas when these
right multi-billion dollar thing is going on.
There's 3 and 4 hour waits.
Right.
So we need to leverage that as well. So there's enough people that go by our front door each and every day that we have to you know, come up with ways, creative ways to get them to come in.
Right. And the last time I was there, there was some problems in the retail area, which was an outlet mall. There was a lot of closed stores. Are you addressing that at any point?
Well, that's
you guys don't own that.
We don't own that. Okay. But we do want to build a relationship with them and hopefully come up with some ways that we could co-market. You know, if they do better, we do better. If we do better, they do better. So it makes sense for us to try and forge some marketing partnerships. Mm-hmm. And you know, haven't gotten there yet, but that's certainly something we're going to look into.
Well, you've had some good entertainment philosophies in the past down there. Some, you know, pretty big. I remember some country stars that played down there. You had a boxing match a few years ago, as I recall. Is that still going to be part of your strategy?
Yeah, and that's something that I think is working well there.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful venue. I mean, I think it's 7,500 people, give or take. Yeah. And you know, we've had a diversified entertainment schedule in the time that I've been here. And I was out there on a Saturday night when they had an act there, and all three properties.
Yeah.
The place was really busy and jumping, and it felt good. It had a lot of energy. You know, we got to try and figure out how to make it more than just that Saturday night when we have entertainment, though.
Right.
So, but we're definitely going to leverage the entertainment facility.
No, you still have that roller coaster on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Doesn't operate 7 days a week time of year, but that's another. You know, it's not just the roller coaster. Right. There's a log flume. There's other amusement rides and things inside Buffalo Bills, and another example of an asset that's there that we just have to figure out how to leverage.
Right. I was up in Reno a few weeks ago, and I wanted to run over to Sparks, but never did. Explain what that property is all about.
It's a local casino. Believe it or not, it was originally a furniture store, as I found out. That was the last one that I visited, which I was there on Monday. And it's got a great little local following. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned earlier about, you know, some of the strengths of the company. I sat down, me and Eric, our chief marketing officer, had lunch with our general manager there, Steve Yarrow, and our Jason. And in a half an hour lunch in the coffee shop, there must have been 6 or 7 different customers who came up to Steve and Jason, and they interacted and knew each other. And you could see that they knew the servers by name. The servers knew them by name. So it's got a real, and it's very similar to our properties in the Midwest. It's got a real hometown feel. Right. And it, you know, I remember Roger Wagner when he ran the Claridge. Right. They had the tagline, smaller is friendlier.
Exactly.
And in a lot of sense, that holds true in some of these smaller properties, and I think that's a perfect example of
that. Yeah, no question about it. So the other Nevada property is Silver Sevens on Paradise Road, just up from the Strip there. Again, that's kind of the half locals, half convention type of hotel.
You just nailed it. I mean, that is exactly what it is. That property, I think of all of our properties, I'm the most excited about what it can be. It is in an absolutely fantastic location.
It is,
I mean, that intersection is, I don't know how many cars go by there, but every time I drive to the property, you know, I'm waiting at the light a couple times before I can even make the turn. The occupancy is real high. Mm-hmm. We've got a big footprint of land. Mm-hmm. We've got the garage as well as service parking. So I don't have any finalized plans yet, but I think that there's a lot
the
of
opportunity.
Yes, there's a lot of opportunity to take that property to another level.
Yeah.
I mean, it runs like for the full year 90% occupancy.
Right.
I think that's a diamond in the rough.
Right, yeah. And you do have a pretty good local following there, too.
Right? Yes.
I see people there that I know are locals when I go in there, and a nice sports book as well in there. Mm-hmm. So, and there's really nothing around there until you get to the Strip.
Right. Yeah. And we're looking at a couple of projects there. Suffice it to say, we have some plans for some additional amenities at that property.
Sure.
And looking forward to it.
Great.
Our sponsor for today's GGV podcast is GLI, staging its annual North American Regulators Roundtable. The event takes place this March at Luxor, Las Vegas. GLI's Roundtable is a 2-day educational conference that provides attendees with the opportunity to participate in high-level discussions with industry thought leaders and peers. Registration for GLI's Regulators Roundtable is open now. For information and registration, visit GamingLabs.com.
And then the properties in the Midwest. Just give me a quick overview of what you see there.
Well, the
Cripple Creek, right?
First, well, let me start with the two in Missouri and the one in Iowa. Right. First of all, I think there's a good chance it looks like that both of those jurisdictions could be approving sports betting, right, which will be a nice amenity for each of those. So the people in the Midwest are, well, it seems like people everywhere anymore, right, really are big, yeah, sports fans. They're very similar in the way that they're laid out, mm-hmm, and the look and feel of them. And each of them, similar to the property in Reno, have that hometown feel.
Right.
You know, the one in Mark Twain, the challenge that we're facing there, mm-hmm, is there's the VLTs just across the right, river in Illinois, mm-hmm, and that's where most of our customers come, right, from. But we're adding a new food concept there, we're coming out with a new brand positioning campaign, mm-hmm, for that property. I think that there's definitely upside there for us to grab back some of that business. The one in Iowa is relatively close to, well, it's very close to Des Moines,
right,
and I think it's incumbent upon us to give people compelling reasons to make that,
right,
40-45 minute drive to, mm-hmm, to Lakeside. What's really neat about that property, it has a great little outdoor entertainment venue, mm-hmm, that could hold, I don't know, 1,500, 2,000 people, and then, yeah, it also has a multi-purpose room indoors that we could leverage for entertainment and meetings, mm-hmm, and groups and things like that. And I think that those are things that haven't taken advantage of in the past, but we'll be looking to do.
Okay.
St. Joe, outside of Kansas City, again, similar, very home, you know, friendly atmosphere,
right,
as
right,
well.
Sure.
Then the last one in Blackhawk. Blackhawk's an interesting market in that you've got some unbelievable properties like Ameristar,
right,
with a hotel, and it's just, mm-hmm, beautiful amenities, and you've got Monarch Building. And I think that it's an underserved market given its proximity to Denver,
right,
from a hotel standpoint. We're smaller, and we're kind of tucked in the middle.
Right.
So the way we want to position that is we want to be the second stop choice,
right,
and that's what we're working towards there.
Yeah, yeah. I was there, I guess last spring, and it is a different market. You know, especially when you can add Central City into it. And
right.
I went up that parkway for the first time. That took them years to build. You know,
believe it or not, I think of all the markets in the United States, the one that I in my whole career that I had never been to,
yeah,
until I took this job was Blackhawk. Okay, and it is, yeah, it's definitely unique.
Yeah, I mean, you got these little storefront casinos and then these gigantic casino hotels. Yeah, it was pretty.
Well, we actually operate three licenses there, and uh-huh, the smallest of the ones that we operate, it's just coins.
Right.
There's no ticket in, ticket out. As, wow, you know, as a way, yeah, to, it's a, the whole community is a throwback to,
sure,
the,
right,
historical mining days, right, in Denver, and so.
Have you been up to Cripple Creek yet?
No, I have not.
That's pretty interesting.
No, that one I have not gotten to yet.
Really, that's funny. What about the regulatory wise? Do you have to have licenses in all those jurisdictions?
Yeah. Well, I was already licensed in Nevada because we had,
right,
Laughlin, and we,
right,
had Lake,
course,
Tahoe.
Right.
I was already licensed in Missouri because we had Lumiere.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to get licensed two additional places, which is Iowa and Colorado.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were licensed in Missouri. I know the regulatory system there is a little tough. Is it any better on the smaller casinos? The Lumiere was a gorgeous property.
No, I think that they're. I gotta say that, you know, they're tough, but they're consistent.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think that they look at, you know, Mark Twain differently than they would look at, you know, the Ameristar in, mm-hmm, in St. Louis. I think that they treat everybody the same, and as long as the regulators and in individual jurisdictions are consistent in,
right,
their application, then you know what, you can't ask for more than that.
Right, right.
I had a great rapport with the regulators in Missouri, so, mm-hmm, I don't foresee, okay, any issues or problems.
That's great. So what you mentioned sports betting. Do you think that's a really big opportunity for your company, not just in those jurisdictions, but even in Nevada?
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way in these markets as I did when I was with Tropicana. Sports betting in and of itself is not going to,
right,
dramatically change the financial results of,
mm-hmm,
of any property or any,
right,
company. But as, again, we strive to diversify the experience,
right,
particularly in the markets where we're the, you know, in Mark Twain, which is LaGrange, Missouri, there's nowhere else they're going to be able to go,
sure,
within,
right,
I don't know, 100 miles to be able to make a sports bet. So that gives us another amenity and gives people another reason to come in the door. Are we going to make a lot of money on sports betting? No.
Sure.
But we're going to get a lot more traffic through,
right,
the property. Same thing in Lakeside and the same thing in St. Joe. So that's,
mm-hmm,
where I think it really will create an opportunity for us and help us.
So you've been hip deep into this consolidation movement in the industry with the whole Eldorado deal now. And sometimes when they acquire companies, there's, you know, little properties that don't fit their portfolio,
right,
and they become available. Is that the kind of property you might be looking at?
Well, let me just say it this way, that certainly Mr. Zanni has, in our discussions, sure, and everything that he's said and done since before I joined the company and since I joined the company, he wants us to add value and grow the company, and he's looking to do it two ways: organically, by improving the results of the right existing properties, and looking for strategic acquisitions. Right. Now, whether those strategic acquisition opportunities come from some of this consolidation that's happened, mm-hmm, and those properties that an Eldorado doesn't want to operate, right, because it's too small,
sure,
that's possible. But you know, we will look at everything, and I'm confident that we are going to grow the business in both of those fashions, grow it with the existing properties as well as ultimately at some point the right opportunity to come along to do it through acquisition.
Sure. Great. Okay, so you've mentioned the experience, and that's obviously something that every casino needs to focus on, and that starts with customer service. And it sounds like your people are pretty good already at that, especially the locals type of casinos.
Without a doubt. Again, I the example that I referenced in Reno, and I've seen that in the Midwest,
right,
as well, right, where there's just this, the people in the Midwest, I mean, I know it's cliche, but
right,
they're just so nice.
Right.
And they literally, they know the customers by name, and the customers know them, and there's that great interaction. Look, are we doing it right every time? No, but I think that I've been pleasantly surprised by what I've seen as far as the way that we're delivering customer service, and, you know, are we going to strive to improve? Of course. But I think that is one of the existing strengths of the company already.
Okay, great. So let's talk a little bit about your Tropicana experience. I mean, you did a tremendous job there. Some of the properties were struggling when you came on, and you turned them around pretty well. The one in Evansville, for example, where you built a whole new casino. That was pretty amazing thing.
Well, I think that when I joined Tropicana, they were, at the time, I think 9 or 10 casinos, because
right,
we sold off a couple and bought one and ended up with 8. And they were operating in silos, mm-hmm, and there was
right,
no company culture. There was no long-term vision for each of the properties. And one of the things that I'm most proud of is, you know, I instilled in each of the general managers, each of the businesses, you need to have a 5-year plan. We
right,
need to have a 5-year vision.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helped dramatically in places like Evansville, where we worked with the legislature, worked with the regulators to get the law changed,
right, mm-hmm,
to allow us to go to land base. And that move was, for what we got there for $50 million
yeah,
of
right,
investment, is just an incredible
sure,
story.
I see the return on investment has been really, really
yeah,
good. Yeah.
And the same thing in Atlantic City. I mean,
right,
Atlantic City, the place has got over 2 million square feet of front of the house space,
mm-hmm,
and every square inch of it needed to be renovated.
Right.
And I'm proud to say, when I left on October 1st, we probably were pretty much done,
yeah,
everything, had
mm-hmm,
touched everything,
yeah,
and the results have been incredible. And we went from 7th or 8th in market share to, you know, they're consistently number 2 now behind Borgata. So
right,
it was a great story.
Yeah, yeah. So do you think that you have a similar situation here at Affinity, that you can, you know, develop this
property
the same
way? Yeah, I think that there's definitely opportunities. I think there's the two biggest differences between a Tropicana and Affinity. Tropicana had a recognized brand that
right,
we could build on.
Right.
Whereas Affinity, we have no two properties have the same name.
That's
so
right, yeah,
there's no one brand to latch onto. That's something that as a company and as a strategy, as we look to the future, is something I think that we need to consider, whether we want to change that or
mm-hmm,
or not. But that's a big difference.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, we had that behemoth in Atlantic City
right,
that had enormous upside.
Sure.
I think that there's upside in all of our businesses here at Affinity, but there's no one property that has got the
right,
incredible upside that Tropicana Atlantic City
yeah,
had.
Yeah, no question. So you mentioned you want to run the company in a decentralized manner, but you still have to build a corporate culture at the same time.
Oh, yeah. And look, when I say decentralized, I from a corporate standpoint, you talked about analytics.
Right.
I want us to look at things the same way, provide the support and the analysis. At the end of the day, I'm not going to tell the general manager
You know, you need to do a gift giveaway on a Tuesday, and you need to reinvest this percentage of free play to your customer. You know your market better than me. You're going to be accountable for your results. So if you're going to be accountable for your results, I'm not going to tell you exactly what you have to do. But there is going to be a lot of commonality in the thought process, in the analytics, and the use of the analytics, and you know, building like brand awareness for some of these individual markets. All those things are things that we will, from a corporate standpoint, help and support the individual properties.
Okay, great. Well, Tony, it looks like you got a challenge ahead of you, but you've had that before, and you've always done a great job. So thanks for the time, and let's stay in touch so we can continue to follow what the changes that are going on in Affinity.
Perfect. I look forward to it. Great. Thanks, Rob.
It's time to stop and start all over.
Hope you enjoyed today's GGB podcast, brought to you by GLI, staging its annual Regulators Roundtable this March in Las Vegas. Visit GamingLabs.com for information and registration. To learn more about Affinity Gaming and the Tropicana sale, visit GGBMagazine.com. To read about all the news in gaming each week, subscribe to GGB News at GGBNews.com. And to attract more players to your iGaming or sports betting websites, visit iGamingPlayer.com. We'll see you next week on the GGB podcast.